Visit with us. We do one of these a week, and the primary reason for doing it is to educate people who may have just lost their eyesight or maybe are having trouble dealing with the fact that they're blind and wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to make a living? What is in this world for me as a blind person? Well, we can tell you that while it is sometimes a difficult thing to do, it is an inconvenience. It can be done because many of us, including myself and our guest today, have accomplished that. And our guest is Sylvia Lopez. And how are you out in California?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, and it's you say it's 60 degrees out there, and I'm going to tell it. Sylvia's got a fire going in her fireplace. You can't blame a little cold-natured girl for that, for having a fire in her fireplace. You're a married lady, right?
Yes, I'm married.
And your husband helps you with these fires, or do you start them yourself, or who starts?
Oh, no. He helps me with them.
But you can probably build a fire without his help.
Oh, yeah, I've done it before.
We have this.
I just prefer him to do it.
Well, yeah, because it's easier. See, that way, I prefer my wife to build fires. But sometimes, if nobody's here, I have to do it myself. We have this thing in East Texas called rich pine, and it really makes wonderful kindling wood. It will usually burn long enough to get the other wood going. How do you start? What do you use for kindling? Newspapers and things like that, I guess.
Or little wood shavings and stuff.
Yeah, little chips. Anything?
Yeah, but mostly paper and newspaper.
Anything to get that old fire going. Well, what part of California are you in?
I'm in Fresno, California, Northern California.
Fresno. Does it get pretty cold there? Well, what's the weather like there?
It does. It's kind of different where I used to live. I used to live in Riverside, California, which is Southern California.
Yeah.
Where it could be, 100 degrees during Christmas, which that has happened before.
Yeah.
And compared to Northern California, you can tell the change of seasons. When it's winter, it's winter.
Yeah.
It's winter is, like at night it's very cold in the 30s.
Yeah.
To me, that's very, very cold.
Definite season changes there where you are now.
Yeah. But down south, you never know.
Yeah. All right, what is your, are you totally blind, Sylvia, or you have some?
Yes, I am.
You don't have any vision? Have been all your life, or?
Past 10 years.
The past 10 years. So you lost your sight as an adult?
Yes.
And what caused that, do you know?
Diabetes.
Is that right?
I was diagnosed with diabetes, juvenile diabetes, at the age of 12, and it was hard, at that age, not to be told that you can't have sugar and this and that. And the way, I guess, when I was diagnosed at that time, there was not a big deal about education with diabetes. Because all I was told was, you've got to take shots, and if you don't take these shots, you're going to die. So,
that's pretty severe, isn't it?
So I started off at 12, and I went on to school and in college, and I had a hard time with my sugars because I was always a brittle diabetic. And it wasn't until 95, I got married in 95, and in 97, only 2 years later, I lost my sight, and it was all due to giving me the wrong kind of insulin as I was being diagnosed on purpose, because it was cheaper for the hospital to give me the cheaper kind of insulin.
Wow.
So, I would be in the hospital for almost you know, 2-3 weeks out of the month. And, of course, I was perfect in the hospital because they would give me the right insulin, the correct insulin, but they would send me home with the one I came in with. So, you know, and at that time, we didn't know anything. My family and I didn't know anything about diabetes and education. Like I said, they weren't big on educating those with diabetes, you know. And so then, until I was 27, after I got married, I started having eye problems at work. I thought I just needed a stronger prescription. And I would drive back and forth from home, not seeing the white lines on the freeway, just kind of playing follow the leader with the cars.
Wow.
Yeah. And finally, I just couldn't do it no more, and I had my husband pick me up, go to the doctor, and did some laser work, some few surgeries, and I was totally blind.
So you got married, and shortly thereafter, you became totally blind.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did your husband know, the man that you married then, know that that was a possibility?
No, because I didn't even know.
Wow.
Like I said, when I being diagnosed, no one told me. I wasn't educated on the complications of diabetes. You know, in 1995, I got married. In 1997, I lost my sight within 2-3 month period. And then in 98, they all along they tell me I couldn't get pregnant. So in 98, I got pregnant.
Yeah.
And I lost the baby. He was born, but he survived 4 months or 4 hours. And it was due to chronic kidney failure that I had, which I didn't know.
And you were one of those people, like we were talking about a while ago, who probably said, "My God, what am I going to do?
Exactly.
I'm blind, and I'm 22 or 3 years old, and here I am totally blind. My life is over." You were one of those people that we're talking about, weren't you?
I was. I felt like I was such a burden because I was, and still am, but back then I was very, very independent on my own. You know, I didn't like to ask a lot of people for anything if I couldn't retry it myself first, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, to all of a sudden lose that freedom of independence.
Absolutely, lost it.
It was very hard for me to accept it. And then most of all, I felt like I was a burden, not only to my husband, but to my family. And, you know, what was I going to do? You know, I can't do anything now because I can't see anything.
Yeah.
You know? I'm so glad that I never did go through a depression, though. I think we all go through depression our own ways, not necessarily medical depression, but I think for me, right after I lost my sight, I remember the next morning I just got up and made the bed and kind of just, you know, we got familiar with my room again. I just figured, you know what, you know, if no one does this for me, then I'm not gonna get done.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to ask anybody for help because I thought I was going to take them out of their way, you know, to do something for me. Until I realized that, you know, we all need somebody at some point, and asking for help is not a bad thing until you get familiar with what you want to do.
Were you and your husband living independent, living in a house by yourselves when this happened, or were you living with some people, or what?
Well, when we were really by ourselves, and then when I started having eye problems, we were still living by ourselves. And then after a few surgeries, we went back and lived with my mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
So I was with my mom and dad, you know, for a while. And it was hard for them to, you know, family to accept. And they act differently around you. They don't know how to act.
Sure.
I was being babied around, you know.
Well, that's why they want to feel sorry for you. And they want to, they don't know what to do. They're as confused as you are.
Yes.
You know, when
yes.
you think about it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it wasn't until I told them, I said, you know what, after 2 years, after I lost the baby and all of that, I finally, after 2 years, I walked into a blind school or a support center, you know, and it was fine. You know, I learned my mobility there, learned Braille, you know, I was always a self-learner, so I bought the books myself, and I practiced Braille at home. And I caught on pretty quickly.
But what did you do before you lost your eye? You said you were working.
I was in the funeral and mortuary cemetery business.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I did everything, so yeah.
Well, someone has to do that, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And so you worked at a funeral home.
It was kind of funny because I went to school for psychology. You know, I go work at a funeral home.
Do you have a degree in psychology?
I actually never got to finish because I always was sick. But I do plan to go back and finish it. I only need it. I'm almost done.
But you have quite a few hours in studying psychology.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Because of the
diabetes, I had to drop out.
Do you think that helped you at all with the what you were asked to deal with or made forced to deal with?
Working with the funeral?
You think your psychology training helped you?
Oh yeah.
When you were forced to deal with?
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helped me a lot, and it also angered me a lot. And it's kind of funny you say that because, like, if I was to get angry, and some people just throw things to release their anger, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, if I throw this, who's going to pick it up? You know? So I'm like, oh, my God, I wish he just throw this and let it go, but no, because then I know that I have to pick it up. So, yeah, it did help me a lot. It did help me see things that I wouldn't have seen if I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, if you hadn't had psychological training.
Right, and a lot of it was common sense, you know. And it really did help me see my point and to see my family and others' point of view of where they're coming from. So it wasn't like I was really upset with anybody because I knew it was difficult for everybody. But also I knew that everybody needs time to adjust, you know.
Yeah, and this was actually about 10 years ago, really.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And are you still married to the same man that you were married to when you lost your eyesight?
We have 12 years now we've been married.
12 years. And it was, you've got to realize, I'm sure you do realize, how hard it was on him.
Oh, I know. I love my husband. I know I put him through so much stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but he's been faithful and he's been loving and caring and understanding and a lot of patience, and I in return have to be patient with him, you know.
And he still builds those fires for you.
Oh yeah.
Well, sounds like a good man. I'd like to meet him someday.
His name is Daniel.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Daniel.
And he takes good care of you.
He sure does. Take care of each other.
All right. When you say it took you 2 years to actually go and get any training as a blind person.
Right.
And where did you go then? Where?
It was just a local support. It wasn't really a school. It was a support center, you know, where they did have some people, student volunteers help you learn Braille, you know, do like independent living and things like that.
All right. So, did they attempt to teach you to? I guess mobility, of course. To how about cooking?
Cooking
skills.
They did teach me some cooking skill. When I entered, I was already cooking.
Okay, I already
figured out. Yeah. And I figured out that there is no specific way to do it. It's whatever you feel comfortable with. You know?
Yeah.
Because they would tell us, this is a certain way, you have to do this. You have to do it that way. And I go, well, if it works for you, why not do what's working for you?
Well, yeah.
You know, as long as it's safe and as long as it's not hurting anybody and, more importantly, not hurting yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you always have to have precaution with everything. It's not specific. I don't believe there's specific rules of how to cook as far as, you know, using your utensils. And, you know, you do what is best for you, what works for you when you're cooking.
Well, and especially if you're blind, you have to figure workarounds and ways of doing things that other people might not make sense to them, but do.
Right.
But make good sense. You know, when I fry an egg, I put a lid on the skillet and it fries on both sides. That way I don't have to flip it.
Yeah.
Which is just really a neat thing. And I hate that because I love eggs, and now I end up having them two or three times a week, you know, and I shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, so you had figured out some things on your own. You say that you never went through what you think of as depression.
Not so. I know I went through a lot of just, I've always been very quiet to myself. And I think at that time I was even more to myself and quiet. Yeah. But I hear stories how people get so depressed and they cry and, you know, I think, you know, I still cry today, but I think it's just we all deal with it different ways, you know. Like I used to tell people, I used to help, I used to counsel. I was a grieving counselor at the same time. After I lost my baby, I went back to work as a grieving counselor, and I told them, you know, everybody grieves their own way. I grieve my blindness, I grieve my child, you grieve a lot of things, you know. But we all deal with it in whatever which way works for you. Now, I also have a best friend who goes through little depressions, you know, and I tell him, okay, Michael, you know, put yourself on a timer, on the alarm clock, and you have a fit. You get on the floor and you kick and cry whatever you want, but then when the timer goes off, you get up, wipe yourself, and you keep going. You know, pout yourself.
I'm a firm believer in having a good cry occasionally.
It's good.
I just find that it's good therapy, mental therapy for me to, I read Reader's Digest occasionally just so I can find that dog story in there that's going to make me cry. Because, yeah. You know, I feel somehow I feel better after I've had a good cry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I always tell my husband, I'm sorry I'm such a cry baby. I cry for everything.
Well, I'm not.
But, you know, it's a good thing though, you know, because it releases a lot of emotions that you didn't know you had sometimes.
You know, it's also kind of weird that the older I get, the closer to the surface those tears are.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, sometimes I can cry without a dog story in Reader's Digest. But anyway, people that don't cry are missing something. You mean people say, yeah. I don't cry, I'm too much of a man to cry. Well, you got a hell of a problem there, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, so were you doing some grief counseling before your blindness at this funeral home where you worked?
Yeah, some. Yeah.
But of course, you were doing everything else too. You're doing a lot of other things also.
Yeah. I did a lot of work, secretary work. I did, you know, a lot of other jobs that most people wouldn't do at a funeral home. But to me, it fascinated me. It captivated me, and you know, not so much the part of losing the loved one, but for being there for someone to help them. I've always liked to help people, you know. And I found it very interesting, the work that's done there, you know.
Well, after all, it is a business.
Yes.
Like any other, it deals in a somewhat morbid strata of our society, but then death is a part of life. Death is, you know, no one escapes.
I realize that now because, like I say, death had come knock on my door one too many times, you know. And I'm a strong believer of faith and of God, you know, and I know if it wasn't for God, I would not be alive for today, you know, and it's all, I give glory to Him and thanks to Him because if it wasn't for God and my family, because I'm a pastor's kid, I was raised and born in church, my parents are ministers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and in fact, they're pastoring in Joshua Tree, California right now, and it's amazing because I go and I sing. I sing at the church, and you know, the faith that they have put, that grounded in me, you know, it stays with me. It stays with me, and I know that I could do all things with God's help, you know, and I have to be strong, and I do my part, and God will do His part, and everything will be fine, you know.
You said a while ago that you were rather introverted. Then you're not the bubbly, outgoing person I thought you were, that I've come to think you were in the last 20 minutes? I never would have.
Yeah, I know. So that's crazy, though, because see, before I went blind, I would never talk. I was always the student in the back of the class who never raised her hand, and, you know, just to herself and everything. And I'm not very outgoing. I'm an in-homey person, but I love to talk when it comes to helping others. And if my story can help somebody who is out there who feels that their hope is gone and their faith is down, then yeah, you know, I want to help them say, hey, you know what, hold on, because there is a light at the end of that tunnel.
There is.
You know, there is. And whether you can't see it with your physical eyes, I've learned to see with my heart.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's good.
You're introverted and very quiet before your blindness, but yet you were able to do some grief counseling, some working with people and helping them work through their loss of loved one.
Yes. Yes. And I can't explain it. It's just, you know, like I said, but if they're to help somebody, you know, I'm more than open to put myself out there to help.
Yeah.
You know, if my experiences can someone else can learn from my experience, you know, then I could be out there and put myself out there.
All right, now, did I hit it about right? Were you early 20s when this blindness thing happened to you?
Yes.
Because you had just gotten married.
I was 27. I was 27.
When your blindness came.
Yes,
And what have you done? It's been 10 years since that happened. What have you done since then?
I have been president for California Council of the Blind in the Riverside chapter for 3 years. And I've been outreaching for the blind, being involved in, you know, ACB and CCB and other committees as far as disability rights for disabled. And I've also volunteered a lot at different places for disabled people to also do the same thing, to help to talk to people if they needed to talk, you know, and to help them a little bit about how I do independent living, you know, independent living services and living. And I also write recipe columns for the Blind Californian, for the CCB. And I've received awards on my story. I have written what's called the Unfinished Story that was interviewed on Books and Beyond with ACD. And you know, to me, I haven't really feel like I've accomplished a lot, but when I look back and say where I came from, I have came a long way, you know, because I've really put myself through a lot, because not only have I gone through a kidney transplant, a pancreas transplant.
Oh, my.
You know, and my uncle actually donated his kidney to me in 2001. And then in 2003, on Mother's Day, I received my pancreas. And so I have a second chance of life altogether. So I feel like God has given me that second opportunity to do something with it, with my life, besides just sit here and keep it to myself, you know.
Now, you've had a kidney transplant and a pancreas transplant.
Yes.
Both of them successful.
Yes. Up till now, I've been insulin-free, so.
So your diabetes is a thing of the past?
Yes, yes.
And that is because of these two transplants?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, are you still on dialysis?
I never went on dialysis.
Really?
I was supposed to be on dialysis. Oh, the doctors would plead with me, you have to get on dialysis. And they're like, no. And finally, my uncle showed up and he says, I'm going to donate a kidney. So he actually saved me from going to dialysis. And I'm very blessed with that, because I don't know what it is to have a shunt or to have dialysis. And that was my biggest fear at that time.
You never had dialysis? Never?
No, never.
And your uncle donated a kidney. They transplanted it in you, and it your body did not reject?
No. It took very well. And my uncle is doing really well as well. He's doing really good right now. So. Yes.
And pancreas transplant. What is there a waiting list for those, or how did
yes.
how did?
There is a waiting. Yeah, you can't donate a pancreas. It has to come from a cadaver. So.
And you were lucky enough to get to the head of the list and get.
Yes, 2 years. I've been on the list for 2 years. Actually, and I got the kidney on the kidney list back in 2001. I automatically was put on the pancreas list. So after I got my kidney in 2001, which my uncle donated, and then in 2003 on Mother's Day, I got called to go get my pancreas. So.
And if they do a kidney transplant, they automatically put you on the pancreas transplant
yes.
list.
If you're diabetic, yes.
If you're diabetic. And sure enough, they did that. That took. That
yes.
was successful, that your body did not reject.
No.
Well, that's pretty amazing in and of itself, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, you have been through a lot. I didn't realize that. Now, this story that you alluded to a little bit ago, where is that, and what is it, and tell me about it, that you wrote.
Oh, it's called My Unfinished Story, and it's just basically a little bit about me and that I've explained to you today. It just talks about my faith and a little bit my parents, and I have two brothers and a sister, and it all started when I was at 12 with diabetes, and it just goes on and on, what I've come through and what I've accomplished and how I've overcome it through my hope, through my faith, through my encouragement, you know, my family, and basically talks about my transplants and the loss of my child and how I dealt with my blindness, you know, in short words, and it just tells as my advice at uh-huh. the end. It just says that, you know, if anybody feels like that they can't do it, there's no hope, and you feel alone, that you're not the only one. You're not the only one, and there is help. There's reach out. There's outreach, but you have to make the first. You have to take the first initiative to ask for the help. You know, you have to go out there and put yourself out there and make yourself known and say, I need assistance. I need help. I need to get educated. You know, because that's very important.
You can sit home a long time and wait on help, and it won't come if you don't ask for it.
Exactly. You know what? My mother tells me, I'm going to win the lottery. I go, yeah, Mom, but you have to buy a ticket first. You know?
Yeah.
It's just like that. You
yeah,
know? The help is out there, but you have to go out there and get
you
it.
Can't, you know? You can't win if you don't play.
That's right. That's right.
Now, where can this story be read? How do you get the story?
I don't have it out anywhere. You know, I have it. I can send it to you.
I mean, is it published? Is it on the internet anywhere or not?
No, it's not.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I think Dale of
Cooking in
Blind
the Dark.
Eyes.
Oh, Blind
yeah.
Life Smart. Cooking in the Dark.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was going to have a link where you can go to it. I have to catch up with him again if I find out.
Yeah, you need to do that so people
yeah.
can. People can. Are you not very? Do you not do computers? You don't.
I do, but I'm not familiar with making websites and links and things
yeah.
like that. I receive email and I do basic, you know, basic computer stuff. But yeah, I know that I had turned it into Dale, and he was gonna put a link in there somewhere with my story. But I will. Oh, it has been on the Illustrator. On the internet, and my article did come out on the Matilda Ziegler. And
you say it has been in Matilda Ziegler?
Yes, it has.
Huh.
In the Matilda Ziegler magazine.
Yeah.
And it has also come out on The Blind Californian, and it's come out and with Dale. So
uh-huh.
I need to talk to him and tell him, you know, if we can get a link to it.
You need to
get... It's a really inspirational story, and it's personal, so that's why I feel that if my story can help somebody, then, you know, why not put it out?
Well, Dale is a little hard to get motivated sometimes, and he's...
So we'll just have to work with him.
he's doing quite a business at Christmas time at Blind Mice
yeah.
March. You know, he's getting orders. We talked to him the other day, and that phone was just ringing. Like crazy,
yeah.
So I guess he's doing pretty good.
I'm a faithful blind mice, yeah. Blind mice chopper. So
do you celebrate Christmas?
Yes.
Do you, what church do you attend on a basis? What faith are you? Do you have a?
We're Christian.
You don't,
Church of God.
So you're not Baptist or Presbyterian or anything. You're the Church of God.
Church of God is Pentecostal.
Oh, it is Pentecostal.
Yeah.
So have you? Do you speak in tongues? Have you done? Has that happened to you?
I have done that in the past. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And this is part of United Pentecostal or independent?
It's independent.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously your husband does fairly well financially because you don't have to work, do you? You're kind of a homegirl.
Oh.
Get to be there at the fire by the fire.
I wish.
You wish.
I wish.
Is that right? What does he do for a living? Do you mind?
He's a project manager for a construction company.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when it rains, he doesn't work, does he?
Yeah, he still does.
Oh, that's the problem.
He's out there in labor. He works in the office.
Oh, he works in the office. Okay.
He overlooks general and general accounts and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, I would like to read your. I don't remember it in the Ziegler, and I do read the Ziegler, but I do not remember. You don't happen to know when it was in the.
It was in last year, in fact.
Because I think those magazines are archived now on the internet.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Maybe you could go there. All right.
If I can give my email out,
If you don't mind doing that, somebody might want to contact you that might, because you said that you are always willing to help people who need counseling. So, you know, we have a pretty good audience, and any of us at any time may need counseling. Who knows? So give us an email address, Sylvia, or we can contact you.
Okay, my email address where you can contact me is at sugarsil71@sbcglobal.net. That's sugar, S-U-G-A-R, sil, S-Y-L, 71. At
sbcglobal.net. sugarsil@sbcglobal.net.
Sugarsil71.
Oh, Sugarsil71.
Right.
At sbcglobal.net.
Yes.
Now, and you said if someone really wants the story, you can send them a copy. You have it. You have it in digital form, and they could get it like that.
Yes.
Well, let me say good luck, and don't know when we'll run this, probably in a couple of weeks, but I'll let you know when we do, Sylvia, and you keep on keeping on. You seem, for an introverted girl, you killed about 30, 35 minutes here and did quite well at it, and we thank you. Another little interview with Susie and Bruce. Going to come along in just a second. Well, while I've got a second here, I'm trying to I've lost his phone number and his Skype, if he has one. My friend Mike Duke over in Mississippi. Mike, you need to call me. I need to talk to you, and I've lost your phone number and I've lost your email address, too. So give me a call if you think about it and get time. Mike Duke's handles the Mississippi Radio Reading Service over there, and I need to visit with you, Mike, so give me a call if you don't mind, sir. Thank you so much. Let's see see if we can get this next thing to work here. Here we go. Hello there. It's Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr, and we are through the miracle of, I've been in East Texas too long, through the miracle of Skype, which to me is a miracle. It's wonderful you can connect hundreds of people together, and it sounds like they're visiting with you. Let me first say hi to Susie Barnes. How are you?
Good morning and hello. I'm fine, thanks.
Boy, she went into her I love everybody voice, didn't she? That's good. Anyway, sweet Susie. Susie has a cooking show, which we'll tell you a little more about in just a minute. All right, Dale. Down, Dale. 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 We had to calm Dale Campbell down. Bruce, I don't think I know your last name, Bruce. What is it?
It is Riddle.
Bruce Riddle.
R-I-D-D-L-E.
Bruce Riddle. And you're a Texan also, I found out the other night.
I am indeed. I'm originally from Alabama, but now we live north central Texas, just above the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Well, that's a good place to live. I guess you get all the weather before we do. It all comes through Dallas first.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I'm in a little town called Sanger. If you don't know where that's at, it's in between Crum and Bolivar.
Are you telling the truth or is this a joke? Crum and Bolivar.
Huh? No, you just don't know where Crum and Bolivar is either, I'm sure.
No, I don't. Well, let me just ask you this.
Bolivar and Sanger.
How far north of Plano are you?
Oh, probably about 35 miles northwest of Plano.
Okay, I know where Plano is. I have some friends that live kind of in, or not in Plano, but sort of around Plano. But the reason we have this group gathered, Susie and Bruce gathered here, is because there is a new, and I don't know how many of you blind folks know about this, chat rooms have become a big thing with not only blind people, but lots of people. Chat room means that you physically can go in a chat room and talk. I mean, like we're talking now, you'd hold down your control key and you could say, hello, how you doing? And somebody will talk, you know, you'd have 8 or 10 people in there talking about a subject or doing an interview or just shooting the bull, as my father would say. And we have established and brought up a brand new chat site, and we're going to let, I guess, who wants to start? Tell us about it.
Go ahead, Susan.
Definitely, Bruce.
Okay. All right. It is www.out-of-site.
Okay.
And site spelled SIGHT.net. And the community got started a couple weeks ago. We've already got a couple hundred members. You know, eventually we have going to have helpful hints on all kind of different stuff. We've already started that. We've got some, Susie does a great show, which you're going to talk to her about here in a little bit, tonight, matter of fact, at 7 o'clock. Well, tonight being Tuesday night when this is going on, but we're going to have a ton of shows, ton of eventually classes, all kind of helpful hints, great resources. Eventually we hope it becomes an all-in-one stop place for blind people as far as resources, companionship, etc.
And it is as of right now absolutely free.
It is and will always be absolutely free. Phil, we will occasionally have to probably ask for donations, but that was not your status. On here will not be any different whether you're able to donate or not. Okay. You'll still be treated one and the same.
Okay, and it is it is primarily but not excluded to blind people who want to talk to other blind people and find out what's going on in their world, what source of what kind of resources they're using, how they are able to cook onion soup, how they would do a woodwork project, how they would sew a stitch. In other words, our interest is in helping blind people get along and learn more about their world and ours, correct?
When it's complete, it will be that, Phil. It'll be a place where you can come and listen to music, where you can come and listen to described movies, TV shows, et cetera, et cetera. It's hopefully the goal is what you just said, along with learning, teaching, and whatever. It'll be a place where you can come and just be entertained or just chat, because you know what? You just want to sit down and chat somebody that understands a little bit about what's going on in your world.
They have the same problem you do. They have an eye condition that prevents them from doing many things.
That's correct.
Okay. And then, of course, this is new, and this is just getting started. I mean, this is like a month old. You've been at this a month or so, as I understand.
Not even
19 days.
19 days. So this is brand new. So everything that that is expected of the site is not up and running yet. What is up and running is what's called a chat community, where you can go and talk to other people, and they could be in Australia, they could be in Maine, they could be in Texas, they could be anywhere, but they talk to you in real time, just like you were sitting there visiting with them. Now, we have some features up and running on there, and one of them is the cooking show that's going to be on tonight, and this is Tuesday when we're recording this, so it'll be some other time when it's played, but this thing airs on Tuesday night. Susie does a cooking show. Susie, right? Tell us.
That's right. I do a cooking show. It's Tuesday night, 7 Eastern, and I do recipes, usually present three recipes, and normally they will have no more than 8 ingredients in them. If they've got more than that, they need to be done by a pro. Also,
I love it.
Give some, after each recipe, we discuss it a little bit, and a lot of times people have suggestions of ingredients they would put in or a recipe similar that they have done. So it gives us a chance to discuss it a little bit and techniques. And then at the end, I usually have a trivia question.
Oh, yeah?
A cooking trivia question. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of fun.
What would be a cooking trivia question? You got me there. What?
Okay. Who invented what? Well, this is the one from last week.
Okay.
What automotive engineer or person invented charcoal?
I have no idea. Never thought of it. Never crossed my mind. Do you know? I guess you've looked this up. You Googled this or something.
Well, it was Henry Ford.
Really?
With the help of Edison.
And they were trying to make their car run on charcoal, or what were they?
I don't know. The question is, who invented charcoal?
Okay.
Charcoal briquettes.
Henry Ford invented charcoal briquettes. Do you get a prize or just get bragging rights?
You just get bragging rights. It just takes up time.
The name of Susie's show is called Tried and True with Susie Q.
Okay.
The reason that's the name of it is all her recipes. She used to be a cook, teach some cooking in for the state of Tennessee or whatever. So
yeah.
Most, if not all of her recipes and stuff that she's either cooked or taught people to cook or whatever. So
yeah.
And at the end of the day, at the end of her show, she emails them because we have an email list, a recipes email list, that she'll post all the recipes that she gives us that night.
And so you can get that in the form of an email and put it somewhere, put it on something, and take it to your kitchen and actually have it there. What if someone has ideas for recipes? Do you have a time when someone can ask you, or an email where someone can ask you about recipes?
Yes. As a matter of fact, last week people had asked about recipes, and I suggest that anyone who wasn't there and wants to request a recipe or would like to send me one so I can try it out before I present it to someone, they can send it to me at Susan.Barnes, that's S-U-S-A-N dot B-A-R-N-E-S,
all right.
07 at Comcast.net.
Susie Barnes 07 at Comcast.net. What, like I said,
No, it's Susan, S-U-S-A-N.
Susan.
Somebody already had Susie, yeah.
So it's Susan Barnes.
Susan.Barnes 07 at Comcast.net.
All right. Now, as I said, all this is new, so if anyone, any ideas that someone has or things that they think would be good for blind people, because we're all in this thing together. We all have to figure out how to do things as a blind person, and you don't. You know, there's on this handyman, they posted a lot of things on how sighted people would do things. I don't want to know that. I want to know how does a blind person drill a hole? How does a blind person build a cabinet? I need to know how a blind person does that. A sighted person would do it completely different. And that's what we're after. How you, as a blind person, can accomplish tasks or do things. And that's where we are, and we're putting this together. So if you have an idea for something you think would be great, how do you get that to Bruce? I guess someone would contact you about that.
Well, you have a couple different ways, Phil. You contact me. We also have an event / schedule coordinator. Her name's Debbie Black. On our main page, again, www.out-of-site.net, there's a contact us link. So, and we do encourage people 100%. You talked about supporting earlier. You talked about maybe supporting the bill. To us, supporting really don't come with a dollar sign. Supporting this site / our blind community in general is exactly that way, Phil. Come over and if you know a subject, maybe teach a class or write up tutorials. There's a lady named Marcia over in South Carolina that's written over about 8 or 9 different helpful hint tutorials over the last 4 or 5 days that we've been posting. So that's exactly what the type deal we're looking for, is the people that want to do exactly that, teach a class, write up a tutorial, or, you know, then that way, you know, if they show just one person know how to do it, then, you know, their job's been done.
So if you have a skill or something that you do particularly well, if you cook, if you do woodwork, if you tune pianos, if you are whatever you happen to do, if you think you do it well, we'd love to have you to come and teach others. As I said, this is new. This is God, I hate to say flying blind, because that's such a terrible pun, isn't it? But we are. We're all flying blind and trying to figure out exactly what you need, what people want, what blind people want in a chat site. But it is primarily a chat site. And by the way, they do some music shows also. I don't know how many, but I know that you have Saturday night. What do you call it when on Saturday night? On stage, I think. Right?
On stage is correct. Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, or whatever. It's on stage. Got some great people, including Miss Susie, who is on here now. They everything from playing piano, reciting poetry. They sing. They do just some wonderful people. Do some great stuff. So for those that may be listening to the show Friday night or early Saturday, make sure that if you want to hear a very excellent program with some good entertainment, make sure to get signed up. We watch for the people to get signed up. So once you get signed up, you usually get approved fairly quick. So y'all want to hear a great program. Our Saturday night program is excellent. It's called On Stage with Miss Lynn Miller.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lynn Miller, some of you may be familiar. Lynn was with another blind chat site for many, many years, and she does a wonderful. I know no matter how bad I sing, or how bad I screw up the chords to a song, or how bad if I think, Jesus, that was awful, she says, Phil, that was wonderful. So she's a wonderful at diplomacy, let me say. Even no matter how bad I do, she says I was good, and that's what we want. Anyway, Lynn's a sweetheart, and you're lucky to have her. We're lucky to have her at this new chat site. And that is Saturday nights at, I think she's moved it to 7 o'clock.
No.
What?
Eight Eastern.
Which is 7 Central.
That's true.
Yeah. Eight?
Seven real time.
Seven Dallas time. You know, Lufkin time.
Well, it's for all of us in this room.
It is seven.
It's seven, yeah.
It is. The only thing is I usually go out and eat on Saturdays and I don't get back. Maybe she'll let me come in late. Think, what do you think?
Well, if you ask her, I think she will.
Some special dispensation.
It runs 2 hours, Phil, so I'm sure you don't eat for 2 hours.
Well, you don't know. I haven't been because I've been on this diet. It's called the ABS diet, and I don't like it at all, I've decided. I haven't lost as much weight as I think I should. But anyway, we'll talk about it.
I went on a seafood diet and almost died from starvation.
And every time you see food, you eat it, I suppose.
Exactly. That's the reason I almost died from starvation.
Because you can't see.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look. they wouldn't let him touch the food, you know. They says, oh, no, yeah, you don't touch your food.
Now, see, this is the kind of thing you get into with the chat room. You need, if you haven't chatted in a chat room full of blind people, you need to come over, because we all have this little bent about us, or many of us do, but I know Bruce and I do, of just kind of thinking we're kind of a jokester. We both think we're Johnny Carson, and neither one of us are. But we think we are. We try to make little jokes and things. So it's a chat rooms, and blind people full of chat rooms is fun. But you'd be amazed at the questions you can get answered simply by being in a chat room full of other people who have an eye problem. Many questions or things that you maybe hadn't thought about before can be answered for you. All right, let's give the site again, and hope everybody will come visit us, Bruce.
It is out-of-site. In this case, site spelled SIGHT.net. I'm going to repeat that. www.out-of-site.net.
All right, Bruce and Susie, thank you both, and we'll see you at out-of-site.net.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Times we don't have enough time. That ran a little short. I missed time that. I'm not going to start over. I've already lost the batteries. I'm using Bookboard to play this file on, and then batteries just went away. I don't understand that. That's sense enough to change them, wouldn't you? Let me remind you that we are planning another gathering in November of fans of the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me. And first, second, third, let's see, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, I think the 7th, 8th, 9th, going on the 10th, I believe, Friday, this first Friday in November, which I believe is the 7th, and we're going on the 10th, same hotel, the Sheraton North, Houston, Texas. It's a beautiful hotel, and the rooms will be cheap enough. The restaurant is a little pricey, but then we've looked around, and they all are. We couldn't come up with anything that we thought would be any better for us, so we're just going to do it at the same old place. The registration fee will be $25, as it was last time, and we're all going to get together and not really plan any big activities or not going to the Space Center or do anything really big. We're going to visit a lot and record some shows and play some music, which is what we've done. This will be our third gathering, so plan to save your nickels and dimes and come be with us in Houston, Texas in November. We'll have more details as the year goes on. and let you know where to register and all that kind of thing. But come and be with us in Houston. You'd have a good time. We've had a wonderful time both the last times. Had about 40 people last time. Hope to have more this time. Hope you're one of them. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, and we'd love to have you as a guest, you can call me at 936-634-9500. Or you can email me, Phil Parr, all one word, at Consolidated, C-O-N-S-O-L-I-D-A-T-E-D, Consolidated.net. Phil Parr at Consolidated.net. That'll get you in touch with me, and I'll put you in touch with Don Shaw if you want to do the Blind Handyman Show. And heaven knows we need guests for that. Always need more. Always have more guests for blind like me than we do Blind Handyman. So if you do handyman stuff of any kind, give us a call and come and be with us on the Blind Handyman Show, or Blind Like Me, either one. Phil Parr at all one word at consolidated.net, or you can call me 936-634-9500. Thanks for listening. We'll do it again next week. Another edition of the Blind Like Me Show. Bye-bye.